Welcome to Eric Stone Radio, the official podcast of Eric Stone Music. This is your host, Kevin B. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode one. Here's Eric to talk a little bit about what's coming up.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the very first airing of the Eric Stone Radio podcast. Today in segment one, I'll be talking about a few songs from a new CD, Time to Fly, and a little bit about the studio where it was recorded, the producer's role, as well as the Nashville Cats and just how my records are made in Music City, and how the CD developed from one idea to what eventually became Time to Fly. In segment two, which I call The Anatomy of a Song, I'll be going in-depth to the making of one song in particular, Ave de Paso. I'll be explaining the meaning behind the song and how I wrote it. In segment three, we will answer questions emailed to us. So if you have any questions, please send them to eric@ericstoneradio.com or ask eric@ericstoneradio.com. I'll get them either way. Since this is our first broadcast, I sent out Facebook and newsletter requests for our questions ahead of time, so we will use those until the new ones come in. So welcome to the first ever Eric Stone Radio podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Kevin, what you got for us?
Hey, I've been listening to the new CD, Time to Fly, and let's start by asking the most obvious question. Why is the CD called Time to Fly, and how'd you come up with that name?
Well, Kevin, it's been since about 2007 since I recorded a full studio album in Nashville, you know, with a full studio band, and I thought it was time. I moved to the Virgin Islands in 2008, and I was performing 6 to 7 nights a week, as well as flying back to the States to play at all the boat shows, all of which gobbled up my time, physical and creative time as well, you know. And it was a time of change or transition for me, too. It was a time I was in a bad relationship that ended in 2011. That, along with some very positive changes in my personal life and my professional life, it got my creative juices flowing. One day when I was preparing my tour schedule for the summer and I was basically waiting for to leave for the airport, I worked until the last minute, and then I looked down at my watch and said, well, it's time to fly. And it hit me instantly like a double meaning, literal and spiritual. It was my time to fly in my new life as well. I was once again happy and full of drive and energy, and I put all those positive feelings into writing this new CD. The first song I wrote, Time to Fly, is a commitment to living a full and happy life and achieving your goals and stuff like that. It set the mood for the entire CD. The CD is full of inspiring stories and feel-good music. I'm really digging it.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I know you recorded the CD in Nashville. Tell us a little bit about the studio you used and what goes on in the making of a CD for those of us who have never experienced that before.
Sure. I recorded Time to Fly at Direct Image Studios near Music Row with producer Kenny Royster. I've used the studio since my very first session in Nashville in 1994.
So how'd you find Kenny in Direct Image Studios?
It's a pretty cool story, actually. I moved to Nashville in 94 and I was looking for a demo studio to record my songs, you know, trying to pitch to other artists. And I called a few places, most of which made me pretty much uncomfortable and a little bit overwhelmed, really. One day I saw an ad in the back of the Nashville Scene that said full band demos for $199. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. You know, that's 1999 prices, of course, and those are pretty much long gone. But it still, to my opinion, is the most affordable studio in Nashville, and the finished product costs and sounds like it should be millions of dollars instead of, you know, a few thousand. It's an incredible studio. Anyway, so I called and spoke with Kenny, and I told him I'd never recorded in Nashville, and I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. Instead of, you know, doing like a hard sell pitch to me, he just said, well, hey, come on in and listen to a session on Monday, and you can just watch if you want. Just kind of chill in the background and watch it. And I thought that was really cool, so I did, and man, it blew me away. I met all the session players, they call them Nashville Cats sometimes, and they were all super cool and laid back. It kind of felt like home, so I booked a session. 2 weeks away, and I think it was three songs. Those three songs eventually ended up on my first CD in 99, which was Songs for Sale. That's another story.
Cool. So tell us what it's like working with Kenny in the studio.
Working with Kenny in the studio is awesome for many reasons. First of all, he puts me at ease. Secondly, he has a great ear for harmonies and melodies and stuff like that. And he's one hell of a vocal coach. He totally brings out the best performance in me that I can do. You just don't get that kind of free coaching with any other producers or engineers. You're pretty much on your own. As far as I'm concerned, I'll never record anywhere else.
That's great. So tell us what goes on in the studio.
Basically, I email Kenny a lyric and an MP3 acoustic guitar vocal of a new song, which is something that I record at home, as well as a reference song that's already on the radio that I kind of want to sound like, you know, just a ballpark vibe I'm looking for in a style, you know what I mean? So then Kenny or Pat plays acoustic. He'll make a chart using the Nashville number systems. I'll explain that another time. It's pretty complicated. But basically, it's just a chart of the song using numbers instead of chords. And that way they can change keys much faster to better fit my voice if it's too low or too high. Anyway, so I show up in the studio the day of the session, and I talk to the guys, and I try to further explain what I'm looking for in the song, you know, tempo, vibe, what kind of instrumentation I want to use, who I want to use for the solo, whether it's an acoustic guitar, electric guitar, some other instrument, keyboards or whatever, and basically that's it. Then the magic happens. Once we get the tempo set by Dennis on drums, he uses a timer, and he sets the tempo exactly what we want to be, and he plays along to the click in a set of headphones. They make a pass of the song. They run through it basically from start to finish as if they were jamming, and I'm singing the scratch vocal in the background to keep it in the pocket. Sometimes, and I kid you not, they get it on the very first take. It's unbelievable. That's why Kenny always records passes. You know, once in a while, you get a clean take, but not always. But if you get a good clean take, sometimes the individual musicians will come in and do fixes. That's where Kenny will bring them in. They call it punches, and he'll punch in a part that may be sloppy or the picker wanted to try something else. It generally takes about 45 minutes from the first run to the end to complete all the music tracks. It's unbelievably fast.
Wow, that is fast. So then what?
Then the hard part begins. Once the music's in the can, I come back another day, usually the following day, and I'll begin singing the lead parts as well as the harmonies and stuff. I will say, thanks to Kenny, I've come a long way on harmonies. In the old days, I used to just pay him, basically, or hire a singer to come in and do all the harmonies. But with his help, I've learned to do all my own harmonies. Every vocal you hear on Time to Fly is me, every single one. Anyway, once I finish the vocals and harmonies, Kenny usually spends about 3 hours mixing. Once that's done, we move on to the next song. In the end, we do mastering and titling, and voila, I have a CD. Then it's off to the presses, after I do the graphics, of course. Sometimes I get that done first. Depends on the road schedule.
Wow, you make that sound really easy, Eric. That was really interesting. Thanks. All right, well, that wraps up segment one of the Eric Stone Radio Podcast. Stay tuned for segment two, where Eric's going to talk about the song Ave de Paso right after we play it. So here it is, Ave de Paso on Eric's new CD, Time to Fly. Enjoy.
Man in the sloop dock next to the bar, torn and tattered, he must have come far. He pulled up a chair next to us and just kicked back. Ave de Paso was the name on his boat. She was worn out as him, looking barely afloat. What's the story behind the name on your stern, I asked. He said, I sail all night like a bird in flight with no wind in sight, adventure bound. Let the trade winds blow, seasons come. The tales all about the places he sailed. I thought of my girl and how the name on his boat was us. So many things that we've seen and places we've been, just like the old man riding the wind. We're both chasing our dreams while chasing the sun. Thank you.
Well, that's a really nice song, Eric. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the song, and I'm sure listeners also want to know, what the heck does Ave de Paso mean in English?
Thanks, man. Well, let me start by saying Ave de Paso is Spanish for bird of passage. It's a double meaning of an actual bird of passage, as well, which I've been intrigued by, basically, for seabirds, any kind of seabird for that matter. I've always been enamored by them, especially eagles and frigates. I was going to use a frigate on the CD cover, but I ended up going with an eagle because of its grandeur, and I really like the native art of the eagle and the sun, you know. But the double meaning basically is bird of passage, which also means, you know, like to travel, bird of passage, to travel.
Oh, I get it. So how did the song come together?
I wrote Ave de Paso in the morning of the last day of recording. My girlfriend Kim Hess and I were trying to come up with a new name for our boat that we were both happy with, and we ran across Ave de Paso, and it just kind of clicked. I'd already written music for Ave de Paso, but it was intended to use for another song. Once I began to scribble the new lyrics, it was a done deal. This is one of those songs that kind of played out in my head like a short film. You know, many of the songs that I write are story songs, and this is no exception. I visualized them, you know, basically every detail of the song in my head while I was writing, and to the point where it almost looked like the set on a film. I can still see the old man's sun-wrinkled face and tattered boat down to every detail, pretty much. I even saw the waterside open-air bar and the ratty old wooden marina fingers that he was tied the boat to, and like many of the I've seen in Florida and Caribbean. Similar to the slip kind of used in Captain Ron, you know, when they first saw that ratty boat. Anyway, the song revolves around a couple sitting in a bar, presumably Kim and I, having sunset drinks with this old ratty boat pulls up, and this old man jumps off and ties her off and limps up to the bar and begins to spin all these tales of his travels in the Caribbean. But anyway, the couple is intrigued, and by the end of the And in the end, they trade their jet set lifestyle, basically, to buy the old man's boat and continue his journey. It's a twist on the quintessential quit your job and move to the Caribbean tale. The song is very special and holds a lot of meaning to me. So basically, that's Ave de Paso, man. The song is pretty personal to me. It means a lot, you know what I mean? So you think we can do some questions now? Let's move on to some of the email questions. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's get to the next segment. Well, that's a wrap on segment 2, Anatomy of a Song. Now we're going to go into segment 3, where Eric will answer your emailed questions. My new fiance, dummy, well, all right, welcome to segment 3, email questions. Eric, your first question comes to us from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. James asks, "Hey, Eric, congratulations on the new podcast. Can't wait to hear it. I saw your Facebook request for questions, and since I've always wanted to ask you this, I emailed it in. Love your music, by the way. I've been playing guitar for a few years and playing several small clubs here and around Raleigh. I play mostly covers. I've been writing a few songs, but don't really play them out. How do you transition from a cover musician to playing more originals? Thanks for all you do, and I'll definitely be listening to the new podcast."
James, that's a great question. Thanks for emailing it to me. You're one of the first people who responded to my request, too, by the way. I really appreciate that. Okay, so you've been writing some songs. That's great. That's awesome. Well, I can tell you mostly is what I did is basically from my own personal experience. When I first started introducing original songs to my playlist, it wasn't easy, but I persisted. You'll have a good song, you play it with enthusiasm and pride, and it'll show. I always introduce your song as an original. That's what I always do. Sometimes I'll wait till the song is over, and if it gets more applause, it makes it easier to introduce, you know what I mean? But I always introduce it either way. People are shocked when you write a good song. Sometimes they're clapping. They think it's a great cover song, and when you tell them it's yours, they're pretty amazed by that. Anyway, so the main thing to remember is keep plugging away. Keep playing your originals. I recently played a show where I played nothing but originals, no covers at all. It was unbelievable. The crowd knew all my songs, and they just kept screaming at requests. It's a moment I'll never forget. I just paused and thought, wow, I have come a long way from playing Skynyrd covers. Anyway, it was a very inspiring moment. But James, I hope that helps you. And if you have any more questions, feel free to email me. We try to answer as many as we can on the air. Sometimes I may just answer via email if it's a real detailed songwriter kind of question. But anyway, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, the next question comes to us from Donnie in St. Petersburg, Florida. Donnie says, "Hi, Eric. I'll keep this brief. I saw you perform at the St. Pete Boat Show a few times and checked out your schedule and see you play a lot of boat shows. It seems that you've carved out a niche. Am I right? And can you go into more detail about that? Thanks for the great tunes."
Wow, Donnie, what a great question. I do mean great because it's a topic of a book that I've actually started writing about niche marketing and stuff for musicians. I'll probably release it as an ebook to help other musicians. I've always felt that if you give, you will get in greater abundance. You know what I mean? Those that give will receive. Over the years, I've found that to be very true. So if you're right on the money when you said niche. When I lived in Nashville, I was just starting to write songs, pitch songs and stuff like that. And I had recorded my first CD of songs called Songs for Sale. And I was trying to find a vehicle, a way to promote it, you know. And I was out in my backyard chopping wood, and it hit me all of a sudden. Boat shows. You know, it's tropical. There's these boats. Half my songs talk about sailing. And I was like, that's a great place to debut a CD. So I didn't know what to do, but I went inside. I emailed anyone I could find online and try to talk about playing at their boat show, you know, and made myself out to be this great boat show performer and stuff, and just, you know, pitched it and made it sound really good. And lo and behold, a few days later, I got an email back from a guy who managed the Chicago and Miami boat shows. He was very interested. After talking to him, he hired me for a tryout at the Chicago boat show. That's where I originally met Bob Bitchin. It was 1999. We hit it off right away, and the rest of that is history. So I'll say to musicians out there, if your music fits a niche, then you should go after it and really, really strive to go after it. But don't forget about the greater side of the public, because you can't just niche. Like, if I just niche people on sailboats, that might be a little small, but you can definitely find that niche, build that niche, develop it, and then move out beyond that. In the book that I'm working on called Niche Marketing for Musicians, I'll delve deeper into that, and I think it'll help a lot of folks out there who are trying to make a living making music. But great question. Okay, Kevin, what you got next, man?
The last question today comes from Tammy in New Orleans. Tammy writes, "Hi, Eric. Love your music. I saw you at Party Gras a few times here in New Orleans. This is a weird question, but I've always wanted to know. How do you pick which songs you're going to play when you do a show? Do you use a set list? Every time I see you, you play different songs. I hope you come back to New Orleans soon. Thanks, Tammy."
Hi, Tammy. That's not a weird question at all. As a matter of fact, I get that one quite a bit. The truth is, I never use a set list. I tried a few times, and I could never stick to it, because the energy of the crowd just didn't quite fit the song that would be next on my list. Like, the crowd would be like really excited and ready to dance or rock out or whatever, and the next song on the list is a slow ballad. It just wouldn't work out. So, you know what I mean? So basically, I just play at what I feel, and I follow the crowd. I try to read the crowd. It's taken me a long time to be able to read the crowd, but I think I've gotten pretty good at it. A lot of shows, you know. Anyway, sometimes I'll have not a set list, but like a list of the songs that I use as a reference, just because I forget what songs I know. I mean, unless you're looking at a sheet of paper with every song you've ever recorded or played, you just can't remember it off the top of your head. So sometimes I'll just use a set list like that. I'll put it either on my iPad or on a sheet of paper. I'll print it out, and I'll give it to the band too, because sometimes I don't even think that I want to play a certain song. Somebody in the band will go, "Let's do that," and it'll be like, "Okay, cool, that'll work." So anyway, that's about it. I think that's probably all we have time for today too, Kevin, huh? What do you think? Well, anyway, remember to send your questions to askeric@ericstoneradio.com. Try to keep them brief, but include enough background so I can answer it correctly, you know, just don't write me a novel. I look forward to reading them all and answering as many as I can, and if I can't answer it on the air, maybe I'll answer it via regular email. Anyway, that's about all I got. Kevin, you want to take us out?
Okay, well, that about wraps up the first episode of the Eric Stone Radio Podcast. Remember to sign up for more podcasts, visit ericstoneradio.com and subscribe, or go to itunes.com and search for Eric Stone Radio or Eric Stone, and you should find it there. And remember, if you have any questions you'd like answered on the air, email askeric, all one word, at ericstoneradio.com. Until next time, this is your host, Kevin B. Mahalo for listening. Thanks for listening to the Eric Stone Radio Podcast. The Eric Stone Radio Podcast is copyright 2013 Eric Stone Music and is distributed under fair use copyright rules. The Eric Stone Radio Podcast is produced by Two Block Studio, Palo Alto, California. For Eric Stone Radio, this is Kevin B.